Hello, you listeners. My name is Eunice Skeet, and welcome to the PD Podcast. The PD Podcast stands for the Personal Development Podcast and is part of the wider student set up and run personal development project. The personal development project consists of this podcast, the PD Podcast, and the PD Posts. And we want to bring you discussions on everything personal development and productivity from a student perspective. Today, I'm joined by student speakers Marley. Give us a little introduction.
My name is Marley Gunter. I study law. I'm in my second year. And in terms of me as a person, I'm a DJ. And I'm just getting to grips with student life, I guess. And mixing music in terms of that.
Okay. And I met Marley last year through halls. And then another friend of mine, Griff.
I'm Griff Kennedy. I'm a second year English student here, very involved in student theatre. I do set design and carpentry, and I volunteer as a bike mechanic with the Bristol Bike Project in Stokes Croft.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about the personal development mindset. And the personal development mindset is a bit of a phrase I coined just to try and put a finger on maybe positive mental attitudes to try and aid you with personal development and productivity. And I would like to put a tiny bit of a disclaimer out there. The discussions we have today and the PD mindset I abbreviate to we define today isn't prescriptive. This definitely isn't what we think all students should feel like. With everything on the PD project, we feel you take what you want and you leave what you want, and hopefully each fortnight we can give you another thing to leave with. So we do have a bit of a plan for today, and that kicks off with me talking about my personal development mindset. And I had a very good chat with Griff several months ago in the SU just about mental attitudes and just about my mental construction. And that's where I sort of got inspiration to do this episode. So I'd kick off trying to explain what my personal development mindset is, saying that there's not a single aspect of myself that I don't think can be improved. I believe that's what I was saying last time, Griff.
That is pretty much what you were saying, except the way you said it when we had our initial conversation, it was quite radical. It was a lot more you're a lot more harsh on yourself than that. You were kind of like, oh, in essence, I think that I've got to improve every part of myself, which is very slightly different to saying you think you can. You were more on it.
I'd say yeah, that's Not necessarily accurate, but that's a problem I have with trying to convey this. It doesn't come from insecurity. This doesn't come from me looking at myself and saying I'm unhappy with where I'm at, because I think starting personal development projects, starting an endeavour like that, would be starting off on the wrong foot. So I'd just like to clarify that. There's not one aspect of my life that I don't believe can be improved. And I'm not too sure where I developed this attitude, but the way I see things is people are intrinsically imperfect. You can never be perfect. Maybe you're perfect for the person you are today. Tomorrow you wake up a different person. And therefore, we can adjust to that and we can optimize to that. And for example, me surrounding myself in university now means I need to be a completely different person to who I was 2 years ago. So I think my personal development mindset just is born from a place of trying to make me better suited to living the life I want. And because that's always changing, there's always improvements that can be made with me. And I think I was saying, Griff, I developed this in school. We were talking about friendship situations and sort of talking about becoming aware of the social impact we have. We had quite a good chat about friendships. And it was sort of sixth form, and you become a lot more aware of your social impact. And unfortunately, just the stage of maturity I was becoming aware that quite a bit of that was negative. And it's very easy to let that get you down, and that's what was happening. I think I just had to accept that. I just had to accept the fact that I was always going to make people feel a certain way. There was always going to be things that came across as negatives. But I think what really helped me was sort of sitting there and think, but Eunice, you're Eunice, so you're always going to be working to improve that. And after a while, it didn't become a, oh, Eunice, you've just annoyed someone, or, oh, Eunice, you should have been more considerate there. That defined how I'd feel about previous occurrences. It'd sort of be a, yeah, Eunice, that wasn't great, but tomorrow you're not going to be as inclined to make those mistakes. The week after, maybe we never have to sit there and think, Eunice, you should have done that again. And it's sort of about making these incremental improvements to myself every day, which means I'm definitely not of this opinion, but today I may be the second worst person on the planet, but give me a week and I'll be slightly better. Give me a year and I'm looking like a pretty decent person, hopefully. So that's sort of how I construct myself, and that does translate to other aspects of my life. We've got hopefully an episode we want to run on progressive extremism. I'm not the most pleased with the title of the episode, but it's more about small changes you can make that add up, and it's less about looking at where you are now and letting you that get you down, but looking at the next step. So I think next, to try and open up a bit more of a discussion rather than just me speaking, Griff, could you talk a bit about your personal mindset, your views and reactions when we had the chat?
You hit on being one of the most important points when you were talking about self-evaluation, looking at the effects of your actions, and I think there's a big difference in how you go about that. You can do it productively, you can do it in a way that beats you down. I had the same problem in school, year 11, year 12 especially. I made a string of bad decisions, fell out with people, totally messed up my ASs. At the end of year 12 I was in a hell of a situation. Sounds a bit extreme when I say like deconstruct myself, but that's kind of what I did. I sat there for hours and just looked at the kind of constituent parts of my personality, looked at what had caused me to make these mistakes, looked at why exactly they had happened, and then I resolved to change it.
Coming into better self-awareness, I feel like, is what you're
getting at. Yeah, absolutely. It's a big difference between self-awareness and self-consciousness. What I mean? That kind of low self-esteem, constantly putting yourself down and everything, that's fantastic. And don't get me wrong, I do that all the time. It's my main source of humour, is putting myself down. But you can do that productively. You can constantly make fun of yourself, constantly kind of rip yourself to shreds, but there can be, even if it's just for humour, there can be a productive kind of impetus behind that. Because even though it's a joke, there's a genuine desire to change in there.
Okay. So I think we wrapped up that introduction quite well. The next talking point we have is on comparisons. And I know, Griff, you had some things you wanted to say about that, but also, Marley, we'll get into your endeavours a bit more. There's a lot of comparisons there, and there's definitely healthier ways and less healthy ways to to deal with those comparisons and to make those comparisons. So, Griff, if you kick it off.
I mean, I think it's natural to compare yourself to other people to some extent. I don't think you can ever fully get rid of that. Humans are inherently social. We live in these big social groups, and success is kind of, it's a big deal, Are you visibly doing well? So I don't think you can ever totally get rid of it. But equally, I think you've got to recognise everyone's projecting an idealised image of themselves. Some people do, but very few people are honestly going out there and showing the world what they're truly like. Even truly decent and honest people, it's a natural impulse to just, everyone does it. You big yourself up just a little bit. You neaten out the rough edges. But that's very difficult, especially these days. You've got Instagram, Snapchat, you've got this constant social feed of people living their best life, as BuzzFeed would say.
Yeah.
And none of it's true, but it's so difficult to get past that and to... I think the most important thing to do is just focus on your own standards, have an internally consistent set of standards.
Yeah.
But with all of that information, with all of that comparison, it's very difficult to get past it.
And I think potentially that relates to what we do at the Preedy Project. I feel like it'd be very easy to get the impression that everyone that comes on here knows everything and has everything down. That's not the case. We're all students. one of the reasons why we're doing this is to help us as much as anyone else. Like, we come here and we have these chats, and I'm able to sort of learn how other people view, how I can change things. Absolutely. And again, as I said, the change comes from a necessity I put on myself to change, out of trying to be better. So it's not that any of us here think we are at the completed stage. We are personally developed, and therefore we're sharing Christ with you. But then Marley, introduce yourself, introduce what you do alongside your degree, and talk to us a bit about dealing with comparisons through that.
Okay, so I'm a big fan of music. Basically, I'm a DJ, so I've kind of put that to the forefront of my priorities, as opposed to the traditional perspective of just 3 years. I do law, so 3 years, study your books hard, and hopefully come out, put your suit and tie, and you're ready to go into the city. But going into university, I thought, you know what, let me do something different. I've got a passion for music, why don't I combine my studies with what I want to do with music? So with the degree, instead of just going into the corporate kind of, the corporate sense, I thought, why not do something, why don't I look for internships with record labels? Why don't I use my studies of contract law to help me in terms of looking to set up an events company? And I think that's really benefited me, because I've seen two perspectives. And just from my knowledge of the music industry and my peers in the music industry, I've realised that I've got a completely different perspective to my peers. They're kind of straight on that music, it's number one, completely abandoned the education route.
Okay.
And I thought, why not?
Try and combine the two.
Yeah, what's to say that you have to do one or the other?
Yeah.
Why can't you combine the two? And that's where I think it comes into comparisons. On both sides, I feel like I'm kind of straddling the middle. Yeah. I've got the corporate side, even with yourself, Eunice, you probably look at me thinking, what this guy does is completely different to what I do. Like, my perspective is completely different to yours.
Yeah.
And then even with my kind of peers in the music industry, they're looking at me studying law thinking, what's this guy doing? Why doesn't he just do music full time with us? Yeah. And I feel like I'm kind of stuck in no man's land, essentially. Like, what path do I go down?
Yeah, how is that sat with you, not having sort of one stream that you can say you flow with? As you said, being, I don't remember what it was, sort of stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
You don't quite fully identify with the musicians and people putting themselves out there. But then again, because so much of your time is devoted to your personal pursuit, your days aren't looking like typical students. So just speak to us a bit about that.
Honestly, I wouldn't say traumatic, but it's something I've had to get to grips with, especially over the past couple of months. Like, I'm looking at the people on my course and I'm seeing them pouring 10 hours, of revision, especially law. That's a very intense, competitive course. Like, it's going to make you insecure to some extent. Like, hang on, am I doing something wrong here? And then with my musicians, they're looking at me saying, well, forget the education, why don't you come and join us?
Okay.
I know quite a few event promoters, and the way they spend their days are completely different to the way the average student spends their day. So I'm kind of stuck in the middle, like, wanting to kind of exercise my pursuits, but also realizing that I need to come out with a good degree. There's no point following one or the other, I think, and that's why you shouldn't compare yourself to others.
You shouldn't.
But, yeah, you shouldn't. You should need to realise what's good for you. And I think what I'm doing now, it might not be best for you, it might not be best for the guy walking down the street, but I know it's best for me. And there's no way to know if it's best for you, you just gotta go with it.
You just gotta try.
Yeah, you just gotta try. And if at the end of the day I end up getting a third class in my degree, at least I tried. At least I tried, and I can't really look at myself to expect better. because I've done what's right for me, what I thought at the time. In 2 years' time, I might look back and say, hang on, well, you could have done something differently. You could have put more time into your studies. Maybe,
I think it is all right to say, yeah, I'm wholeheartedly investing in this because I think this is what is best for me at the time. And knowing that may not be the objective best thing for you, but just committing to it. Because every decision we make in our life with regards to what we want to invest in, what we don't, at some stage we probably will look back at it and think efforts could have been better invested somewhere else. But to an extent, that doesn't need to be important. How you feel now, what you feel your needs and wants are now, should be given adequate space to direct your trajectories. Obviously do think long term as well, as you are, Marley, but yeah, definitely I think looking to how you're feeling and what you want at this very moment, because you need to live a life for the person you are today. You can't always just be thinking, what will Eunice 10 years down the line have wished I had done?
Absolutely.
Or what will set me up today for the person I am 10 years down the line? At some point, you need to start investing in the person you are today.
I don't even think at this point in life, I don't think we're capable of looking 10 years down the line. You know, we're still, I know the whole point is that students live uncertain lives, but we do.
Yeah.
We're in flux. The job market is a mess. We have no idea what's going to happen 10 years. I don't even bother predicting.
Especially our generation. Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
It's just totally like we are the generation of uncertainty in everything. Our jobs, our rent, our money. It's not giving up to accept that you've got to focus on the short term. It's just being pragmatic.
I agree. Is that good enough segue into reality, Marley?
I just bring in the gym as a metaphor.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
So if you go to the gym regularly, you would have come into the gym, your first time going into the gym. I know, Eunice, you are an avid fitness expert yourself.
Definitely not an expert.
Definitely is.
But I think, you know, everyone that's been go to the gym regularly can, you know, kind of take it back to their first time stepping into the gym and looking at the machines, looking at everyone around you thinking, I don't belong here. And inevitably, you find yourself comparing yourself to the big bodybuilder, you know, easily cruising through his sets. And you're looking as the skinny youngsters you are thinking, gosh, I don't belong here. Will I ever get to his point? Will I ever get to where he is?
Mm.
But then from my own personal experience, I realized a year later that possibly I might be that guy that the beginners coming into the gym looking at thinking, oh, how can I get to this guy's point? And especially like in terms of fitness, there's no point comparing yourself to the next guy. It's always about essentially building more muscle than you did last month. And I think you should relate to that in terms of life in general. Life, I think, is all about building blocks, and it's about building blocks on blocks that you can progress from. And there's no point looking at the next guy's building blocks because he's had different circumstances to you. Essentially, he's a different person to you.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But then now, Marley, should we move on to talking about reality?
Yeah.
Talking about looking at things. My impression of this is looking at things how they are now.
Yeah.
Looking at things realistically to better dictate course of action.
Well, this might sound a bit of a slang term, but one of my favourite phrases to use is, it is what it is. And that helps me a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it is what it is. There's no point thinking what it isn't, and there's no point thinking what it will be. And in terms of relationships, job security, how you're studying, we think you need to just be aware of the present. Yeah. Like, it is what it is now, and you need to be comfortable with that. I think a lot of, you know, people in our generation aren't comfortable with the facts of reality. We're living in a complete life of a period of uncertainty. The housing market's collapsing. We're living in uncertain times of Brexit. And there's no point thinking, okay, it could get better, it could get worse. You need to think about, what is it now? And personally, how can I improve what's within my realm of control? I can't control the whole Brexit saga. I don't think anyone can, but I can definitely control my personal finances. And there's no point, you know, trying to affect things that you
are out of your hands. Definitely, I think for me, often when I'm trying to get involved in something new or when there's radical change that's needed, maybe for some listeners, they'll identify trying to invest in their personal development and they're sort of thinking, I'm not in the position where I can do what my friend does. I'm not in the position or I'm not in the headspace to start doing what you guys discuss on the PD podcast. But after a while, I feel like that became unimportant for me. Because today, with the person I am now, I can make action on myself, or I cannot. And I think skipping, looking too far back and saying, oh, I tried and I failed back then, or looking too far forwards and thinking, oh, I need to be over there and it's so far away from where I am now, and letting both of those intimidate you, does you no favours. I think one of the best things I've been able to do for myself in certain aspects is to just sort of go, all right, Eunice, where are you at today? Where do you want to be? Where's the next step? And going from there. And I think, like in the first episode, we tried to put quite a lot of stress on the self-awareness, and Griff, you touched upon it. Just having the self-awareness to look at things objectively, to look at things as they are today, I think opens up so many avenues for you.
You say objective, but I mean, you can never be truly objective about anything. Yeah. There's always going to be a degree of bias, but I used the word pragmatic earlier.
Yeah,
it's about that. It's about accepting, you know, you've got problems, you've got limitation, but for a start, everyone does. It is what it is. Yeah. I say all the time, it's like a mantra, you know, it's a very reassuring phrase because it is what it is, and other people are going through stuff as well. It's a difficult thing to get out there, but it is just about not letting it intimidate you. Looking back, looking forwards, I think that's important. You can look back. I look back constantly.
Yeah.
But I use it as, well, A, as a learning experience. You know, how have I dealt with stuff in the past? And B, to say, look, you've been through stuff before, you're still here. Just about accepting that and not convincing yourself that you can just ignore things and they'll go away, because they never do.
Yeah.
You know, I always, when people ask me how I'm doing, I always say I'm keeping moving.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
That's a phrase I've heard Marty say hundreds of times.
You just keep it moving. You're keeping your feet moving. I think that's all you can do. Yeah,
and I think move what you can and leave what you can't for another day. Definitely. Because no one's in a position to change the entirety of their life in one day. No one's in the position to move the unmovables in your life. Certain things are out of your hands. But as Marty says, almost daily, keep it moving.
Keeping it moving, that's the daily mantra.
Yeah, definitely. We talked about intimidations. I think one of the greatest intimidations is failure. It's almost, if you don't start, you don't fail. Which is one of the obstacles actually for this personal development project, because unfortunately I had a situation change. Bad news was delivered right before I tried to kick off the project. And I was sort of thinking, right, Eunice, you're not in a position to start something like this. I'd identified it as something that would benefit me, something that I wanted to deliver and deliver well, obviously taking pride in what I do. I wanted the success that I envisaged. I sort of thought, you're not going to be able to fulfill whatever this potential I saw the project having if you start it now. And I was very tempted to not start it. But I think one of the things I ended up telling myself is, if you start today, you can start improving today. It's not about how we start, I think, in a lot of senses. It's more important to look at how we finish. And we have goals of how we want to finish, but you don't get there by jumping straight to that level. You get there by failing today and failing a bit less tomorrow.
Definitely.
And 6 months down the line, a year down the line, bringing back to my personal development I was talking at the start of the episode, things will always improve, but let's start that improvement today. Yeah. Let's not let the situation we are in now, let's not let our opinions of that stop us from kicking off that journey.
Yeah.
'Cause the sooner you start, the sooner you get to where you want to be. Yeah. So do any of you have anything to bring to that?
From my own personal experience, I'd say failure is I think is the biggest key to success. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Because
it's completely necessary.
You learn from your mistakes. You can fail once, you can fail twice, you can fail three times. And, you know, a lot of people may feel, you know, discouraged. Okay, maybe what I'm doing, this isn't for me. It only takes something happening, going right that once for success to happen. And people get discouraged by failure, and there's nothing wrong with failing at all. You know, in terms of university, you fail your degree, there's nothing wrong with that, to be honest. As long as it's not a situation in which you can't go back and rectify that situation, I don't think there's any point in dwelling on that failure. Like, oh my gosh, I'm a bad person. Oh, I'm a stupid person. I don't deserve to belong here. Just think about what went wrong and what can you do right the next time to ensure that maybe you might not be successful the next time you go around with it, but you won't fail again. That's what I think is the most important thing. Like, there's lessons from failure that you need to...
I agree. I've only known Marley for just over a year, and I hope you don't mind me being this open.
It's fine, yeah.
But I'd say most of the respect I have for Marley has come from the failures I've seen him go through with his music so far. I remember at the start of last year, he was talking to me, DJing for birthday parties, and I didn't see him for about a month or two, and he comes back to me and he's like, Eunice, I've booked out this event. Can you help me? Can you help me promote this? Can you help me advertise this? And in the end, the event didn't go quite as we had envisaged. Yeah. But that's not what I remember. What I remember is Marley taking a seed and growing something from it, and Marley capitalizing on opportunity. And I think what we do is we get almost too caught up on the failure, and we big up failure to be this huge embarrassing thing that sticks with us. Most of the time, everyone around you forgets the times you failed. Everyone around you forgets when things didn't turn out the way only you saw them, the way you created such a specific image in your mind. When it doesn't realise that people don't know. They see the successes of the situation as well as the failures. Yeah. And long term, you will forget about the failures as well.
Yeah.
I feel like humans, in certain aspects, we are inherently optimistic. When we look back, we gravitate towards spending time reflecting on our successes, because I think there are a lot more failures to most people's lives than the successes. But personally, so far, look at where I'm at in Bristol. That was because I passed my exams. I failed so many more exams than I passed, but the passes and the successes are the pertinent aspects of the parts that change your life, and they come through failing.
Yeah,
maybe we just have to look at success as a game of numbers. I have to fail X amount to succeed at one time, and that's where we build and that's where we move forwards.
Oh, even in failure, there are a kind of success around, I'll put quotation marks around success, that can be taken from failure. So, you know, you mentioned my event not going to plan, but without that event happening, the successes I have seen from my music career to date have been as a result of me putting on that event. Because for me, putting on that event, it made people aware of, hang on, Marley's a DJ. Oh, Marley's putting on events. Oh, okay, so if we need a birthday party next time, oh, they already know someone that can do it.
Yeah.
And that definitely, it's all about networking. It was kind of networking in essence.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, a lot of the bookings and opportunities I've got came from that failure. And yeah, there were a lot of tears, there were a lot of meltdowns, you know, should I continue to pursue this? You know, I lost a lot of money. But then I thought, well, what really matters is that
you've shown commitment, shown that you can create something, you can put something there that most other people, I'd say, couldn't have. And there's a success, even if it didn't pan out the way you thought it did.
Definitely,
there's a
yeah.
success, because right now you're still doing that. That's what you're about, and that's what is the start of what's hopefully a successful music career.
We hope.
The final thing I think we want to talk about today is a quote that I've taken from Marley, and I love it, but just because it contradicts my constitution fundamentally. And if I'm allowed to quote this for you, it's: life is about exerting the least amount of effort. Just unwrap that. Explain
all
that to
day,
me.
Every day. I'm all about efficiency as a person.
Mm-hmm.
If you know me personally, you know I'm one of the most laid back people you could ever meet. I'm a very chill, calm person, and you know that gets me into trouble sometimes, but I think that nature's allowed me to experience success academically and in terms of musically, because I might not work as hard as the next guy, but I make sure that work's being put in the right places.
Okay.
And I'm not one of those people that, you know, you're going to ride on the bike to the top of the hill as fast as you can, as hard as you can, when, you know what, why don't I maybe make a faster bike, you know, why don't I go to the gym, why don't I work on my legs, why don't I build myself up compared to the next guy so that I don't have to work as hard as him.
Okay.
You know, the other guy might be using some cheap bike, pedaling as fast as he can, wasting a lot of energy that, you know, would be better suited if maybe he put a bit more money into buying a better bike. Maybe he doesn't have to work as hard. I know you're going to think, well, that's a very crazy perspective to have, but
I think it's a valid perspective, Griff. I think based on previous chats, you sort of naturally sit a bit more on my side of the fence, so maybe come with your interpretation.
I think what you were saying there is basically work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
Which is not quite the same thing as put the least amount of effort in. It's a way of thinking differently. Because when Eunice said that I was coming in, I was going to be chatting with someone whose whole idea is that they don't put effort into anything. It was like, Christ, that is the exact opposite of how I think. Because I think the main problem I have with that is that if you don't have to put any effort into something, does that not imply that it's not really worth it? Mm. You know, like, surely the effort implies value and worth. I always, I say the word effort, I always think of my mates. Probably to an irritating, kind of intrusive extent, but I like to make a point of being there for my mates, putting the effort in, you know, going the distance to meet them, catching up on them, walking people home, etc. Once walked a girl home back in Swansea for an hour away from my house because she didn't have a lift and I didn't want to go home there. And just, it's the stuff like that where it's like, yeah, it's inconvenience in me. But I think it's worth putting that effort in because you get something more than just sum of the effort. So I think I don't know if we are quite at
crossroads.
Yeah, I don't know if we're quite at the cross purposes I thought we were going to be going in. You're just talking about kind of thinking about outside the box, really, which makes sense.
I like the fact, Griff, that you linked it to worth and value, because similarly, I am under the impression that you should be putting, I don't quite want to say as much effort as possible, because Marley, you are totally correct. Don't run everyone's races, run your own race. But when it comes to running your own race, sprint and put the effort into it. Because similarly, Griff, I think, yeah, you do definitely get more value the more effort you put in.
Mm.
And one of the ways I think I've found of getting more value out of life is by making sure I am pushing myself, making sure I am putting the most effort into everything I choose to. But similarly, yeah, I do find my own courses to run and I do run my own races. It's weird how it is materialized, but sort of in upper sixth, I reached a point where the more I spent time trying to do things that wasn't the schoolwork, the more schoolwork I'd get done. The more I invested outside of the classroom, the more enriching my life was and the more enriching the classroom was. And I think I'm getting to that stage at uni similarly, where I only feel like I'm putting 40% of my efforts into the course. I feel like most of my time, my head is somewhere else, focusing on something else. But it means when I get down to sitting and doing that coursework, I've had enough of a break from it that I can come to it in the right mindset and I can properly invest and I can make sure I sprint on the course when I need to, rather than maybe dragging my feet. So I think that concludes the third episode of the PD podcast. This will be available along with all of the rest of the episodes and the PD posts, which is our blog, at www.pdproject.co.uk. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. I'd just like to say our previous episode is available at www.pdproject.co.uk/pdpodcast/2. This will be /3. And the next episode, we'll be talking about personal finances with Marley and another friend of mine. And that will be available in 2 weeks' time. So,
thank you then. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a different kind of pain. It's a different kind of pain. Crafting your happiness. Crafting your happiness. It's a different kind of pain. It's a different kind of pain. Crafting your happiness. Crafting your happiness. Smiling with the passion.